Pickaxe.
Jetzt nur du, dein Podcast und eine leckere Auszeit. Ab zu Aldi Nord. Für 2,99 € bringst du deine Mittagspause mit Sushi ins Rollen. Lecker. Und für 1,99 € gönnst du dir danach noch eine kleine Eiszeit. Bei Aldi Nord findest du immer das Passende. Klingt gut? Dann probier die Snacktime Sushi Box ab 205 Gramm für nur 2,99 € oder Mucki Sandwich Eis je 8 Stück für nur 1,99 €. Das ist Gutes für alle zum Aldi-Preis. Jetzt in deiner Filiale. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Triforce podcast.
Oh,
coming at you from lockdown land.
Yeah, yeah.
Week 19. We've all got long grey beards.
Is it week 19? No way.
It's not. It's like week 9. Of a mate, or maybe something like that. It feels like it's been just going forever. Are we now stuck in a perpetual land of... No, things are starting to look up. People are opening primary schools.
Yeah.
And New Zealand's boasting about how fucking awesome they are.
Yeah, they've seem to have done a good job getting through all this old New Zealand.
There's like three people that live there. Come on. I don't think they're a good metric.
I was thinking, right? So I watched a thing this week. I watched The Terror. Okay,
right. We're not going to have another episode where we talk about post-apocalyptic end of the world stuff, are we?
Not really. Okay. No,
not right, really. Good. Just a little.
Terror is about something which has also been written a lot.
It's about an apocalypse.
TV shows,
okay, but. Imagine this: an apocalypse, and then people trying to survive post-apocalypse. Okay,
but it's not a post-apocalyptic film. All right, very important.
It's half that. So basically, it's about the lost expedition to find the Northwest Passage
in
1850, which was kind of one of these great things of the age of exploration, where the British sent out these two ships with loads of men, like 150 men out there, and they never came back.
What were they wearing?
Bikinis.
They were wearing
the finest bikinis in the British Empire.
Nice.
It was like matted... matted wool, and it wasn't as good because when it got wet, it would freeze. Whereas the animal clothes that the Eskimos wore, was actually a much better thing to wear. Anyway, they died. It's not a spoiler because it's history, and also the show kind of says right at the start that no one came back. So you kind of go into it expecting that, but they died of this sort of combination of starvation, hypothermia. They went a bit mad because they had zinc deficiency. It's theorized that all the tins they brought in them had been improperly sealed because they'd been bidded on by the lowest bidder, you know, made in like 6 weeks flat. And so they were all poisoned with lead. And so everyone, and also they had a water distillation system in the ship. But they were there and stuck in the ice for like 3 or 4 years. And relatively recently, the wrecks have been discovered by Canada up in the very north. Only like, 5 or 10 years ago they were discovered. And they've been like trying to piece together what happened on this ill-fated voyage. And the TV show kind of takes it a little bit into the realm of
science fiction.
But I thought it was a really cool, because it's got Jared Harris in it, you know, from Chernobyl. Have you seen...
Which one is he in Chernobyl?
The main
one.
Yeah, he was also in Mad Men, if you remember.
Oh, he's great. Yeah, he's such a good actor.
Oh, isn't he great? Yeah. Like, he carries the thing
really
on his
good,
shoulders
yeah.
the
he's,
whole way.
He's very really good actor.
I didn't know his name was Jared Harris. So I'll try and remember that. It's very alliterative. Jared Harris, but he's English, isn't he?
Messages for Jared Harris. Like, you know, he's got like a voicemail or whatever.
Yeah, he is English. He's absolutely great.
He's fantastic,
And yeah, he's also on The Expanse as well.
Is he in that now?
Another great show.
Or was he always in it, actually? Was he always in it, or is he just newly
he's
in
the,
it?
He's the leader of the kind of rebellious asteroid man.
That's right. Yeah, he is. He was in that, wasn't he? Yeah, totally forgot about that. Yeah, he's been in a couple of bits and pieces. It's funny because he's not like he's very watchable, but he's not like I wouldn't say he's like an eye candy sort of guy, right? You know, like,
well, he would typically be the bad guy, right?
You think,
because he's a little bit weird looking,
a little bit weird looking and stuff. Yeah,
you know,
yeah, that's like
kind of he looks like a bad guy, but kind of being these, it's kind of weird. He's just become these leads in things.
Yeah,
in
yeah. Man, no, he, well, he's good. Like I said, he's very, like, he's a good actor, and he's just, I just find him, like interesting to watch. But I think it's just because he's a little bit sort of, not, I don't want to say weird looking. He's not weird looking. He's just not like,
he's recognizable. Let's put
he's
it
not,
that way.
He's yeah. just not just this like chiseled sort of like, you know, Brad, like with like fucking a tan and stuff like that, which, you know, it seems to be like every male lead is that. So it's nice to just have somebody who's not,
you know,
that.
You know, when I'm scrolling through Amazon Prime Video or Netflix looking for something to watch, and I see a little picture and I think, oh, that looks interesting. And you're right. Like 80% of the time, it's Brad in the lead.
Yeah.
And it always says 3 seasons available. And I check out instantly because I'm like, I don't want to watch 3 seasons of Brad.
Yeah. You look at that face, you just think like the whole premise of the show or the movie is like, they interrupted my spring break for this. Like, and it's like kind of, I don't know. It's not that it's massively off-putting, but it's just like a breath of fresh air sometimes to have somebody a bit different in a role that's like, you know, also, maybe a bit more interesting to watch than,
you know,
tested and true formula, you know?
But they can act. Like, that's the thing. Guys like that don't get in movies based on their looks.
No.
Again, no offense to Jared Harris.
Yeah.
He's a fine-looking man. But he's never going to be the romantic lead when they've got Brad's coming out of the ass, right? So if he's in something, you know he's in it because he's good. Not because he's just this week's sort of fucking conveyor belt of Brad's. He's the last Brad number 118.
Man,
stick
he
him
was
in that.
So good in Chernobyl. Holy shit, he was so good.
He's amazing.
He does feel like an ordinary human as well, like in a sense, like, because those Brads feel detached from reality. I know there are people like that who are real, and I've met them, and they're just these 6 foot tall Hollywood actors who are incredibly gorgeous, and they have this like aura of kind of surreality around them where it's like they don't feel real, whereas I think we can all kind of see him as the slightly you know, not perfect teeth, you know, not like
a real person, sort of, damn it.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
Also, I feel like those Brads have all been taught to act the exact same way, and they just express emotion like it's like there's some class where they graduate from Brad University,
Brad Academy,
Brad Academy. They come out of the Brad Academy.
Everybody does a jumping high five and yells "dude" when they graduate.
They throw their snapbacks in the air. Yeah,
fuck's sake. Yeah, no.
We shouldn't talk down Brad Pitt though. He has been good in some things lately.
Yeah,
I actually think he's matured as an actor a little bit. I mean, he was excellent in Moneyball, but you've got to get Brad Pitt playing Brad Pitt.
Yeah, I've always liked.
You can't have him playing.
I've always liked Brad Pitt though. I don't think I've. I mean, I haven't seen like every movie that he's been in, but I don't think I've seen any movies that I've disliked him in. I mean,
he was very good in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I thought.
Yes, he was. I thought everybody was really good in that. I thought that was just a really good movie.
Like, I hated the last 20 minutes, but up to that point, I thought it was brilliant. Yeah.
Oh, I just thought everything was good. I thought the last 20 minutes were great because it was just such a contrast to the rest of the movie. But it was very sort of like funny and stuff too. The last 20 minutes of the movie. Oh, it was good. It was really good.
So, no, I watched all that this week. I sort of binged it while I was derping around playing some crappy games. And I just realized, like, that these guys, these soldiers, it was a different time, really, I suppose, these guys. And they knew what they were in for. But just being trapped in Arctic sea ice on your boat for 3 years. Like,
yeah, that's going to suck. That.
Like, fucking hell, man. Like, and eating, like, bring enough supplies with you to last 3 years.
Yeah.
Just thinking about how
I think
that
they must have killed
well.
Stuff that lived on the ice, like seals, surely. Seagulls, seals, maybe a polar
bear.
Yeah,
they must have had to have done something like that. You find people always end up finding some sort of way, right? Even though it might be a bit gross or like unconventional or whatever.
There's something to do with that, and people I think it was Shackleton when he went to the South Pole sort of 50 years later and tried to sort of get there, and then kind of massively had all these terrible things that got him stuck in the ice. I think his guys ended up eating a lot of seal and bear. And I think something like bear liver, I think, contains a lot of, I don't know, heavy metal in it.
It's vitamin D, I think, is in their tongue. In a polar bear's tongue, there's is so much vitamin D that it will kill you. I don't know if that's a myth or whatever, but I remember
there's
that
something
being
weird about eating bear liver is really bad for you.
Yeah, I mean, because so you've got to kill a bear first of all. But
yeah, that's probably
the
most dangerous part of it. Yeah,
The thing about all those guys like Shackleton and all these lads is, to me, I don't look at them as heroic, because if you look at like Amundsen and people like that, they went and did these expeditions and they were fucking prepared. I feel like we had a very arrogant British attitude to it, which is, oh, stuff and nonsense. We'll just put on some heavy coats and pack some bully beef in a tin and we'll be fine. We'll take some donkeys. Ha ha ha, what a lark.
Yeah.
And they go off and do this and they all fucking die. Whereas Amundsen is looking at them and thinking, what the fuck? You guys didn't even bring huskies or sleds or anything? You're just carrying stuff? Like, it was ill-prepared. And I think it was an arrogance rather than of bravery, foolhardiness, just silly. Yeah. Like, I read that. My mum got me the book about Shackleton. I can't remember who wrote it. It's got a foreword by, what's his name? That British actor, Kenneth Branagh, saying, you know, if you want like preparedness, go for Amundsen. If you want something else, go for this guy. But if you need guts, get Shackleton. Pray, get on your knees and pray for Shackleton. But I'm like, he put all these people in this position through lack of preparation. I mean, you wouldn't applaud NASA if they stuck a couple of lads in a tin can with no plan how to get them back and just said, oh, we'll hope for the best. You'd be like, what the fuck were you thinking? Like, they were the NASA of their day, and they didn't even put any preparation into it.
The difference was that Roald Amundsen had gone, actually, and was the first person to discover the Northwest Passage. He actually did it in a little boat with, like, five other guys.
But he knows what he's doing.
And he actually learned from the Inuit there that how to basically live on the ice and what move stuff around, and took all that knowledge to the Antarctic, went to the Antarctic, turned up, 2 months, bam, South Pole, left, right?
Perfect.
Scott was there for fucking, like, because he had to get money for his expedition. He had to get massive ships, all these things. He had, like, a steam train or two. Yeah. Like, he had all this weird shit. And then he actually was commissioned by the Royal Academy, who were getting him to collect fucking meteorites on the way, you see. Imagine we were going to the moon in 1969, and they were like, in order to fund this, we're also going to have to go to the asteroid belt, pick up a load of fucking asteroids just as well, just to make it pay for itself. That's just such like a human British approach to it all as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I mean, that wasn't his downfall, but it contributed to it for sure.
Didn't they took, I'm pretty sure they took donkeys to the North Pole when he went there, Scott. I'm pretty sure that they took donkeys with them.
I wouldn't be.
They
would
certainly
be
didn't take huskies and sleds and stuff like that. They fucked it, basically. They completely fucked it. And I don't understand why they're hailed as heroes. They were fools. And they were willing fools who just didn't bother preparing. Apologies to any Scott fans out there, but I'm set in my ways.
Well,
they
prepared a lot. They were very brave fools, but they prepared within their knowledge base. That's the thing.
But that's they didn't go and say, how are
research,
we going to do this?
No.
Yeah, they just said, what are we going to need for this? That's going to be a bit cold. We'll take
it. I think
coat.
That's ego rather than foolishness. You know, I think that's them thinking all these Norwegians aren't going to know what to do, are they?
Yeah, it's not like they live in the cold.
It was at a time when Norway wasn't even that stable, because I think Norway and Sweden had only just broken up. Like, they were a kingdom, joint kingdom.
They were fresh on a split up.
They've been dating for such a long time as well. It was such a surprise.
The South Pole was like a rebound thing for them.
Yeah.
In other news, my kids are slowly losing their minds.
Right.
And so my youngest has decided that she's going to become sort of like a spy. And she's been spying on our neighbors from her bedroom window in the evening.
Well, this works out perfect
down.
For you, doesn't it? Because don't you actively spy on your neighbor who you think is a spy anyway?
No, no, no.
Well,
like, I remember I spoke about it. I said a few weeks ago that they're not spying, and I wasn't spying on them. I would just look occasionally.
You spied on them to find out that the spy house wasn't full of spies. You're teaching her this, P-Flex.
No, I didn't spy on the spy house. I would just
She's
look
been
occasionally
listening to the podcast,
and go, what's
hasn't
going
she?
In over there? This is different. She looks out the front window. She can see the road, and she's just watching what's happening. Because remember, they're stuck inside.
So when you're doing it, it's nosy. When she's doing it, it's spying.
She told me, and she's recorded what they've done. So here's her record of a couple of nights ago. 12. This is 8:12 p.m.
She's got a logbook.
Yes, she logged it.
Oh my god!
She's like, am I
terror?
Yeah. 8:12.
Ate the last can of boiled ham today.
Girl glances at herself in the mirror. So she obviously saw someone across the road looking at themselves in the mirror. 8:12, that was. 8:13, woman takes her dog out as usual. Brackets, calls dog hunter. Close brackets. Addendum, strange. She wrote strange.
I love this.
Strange. 6:16, airplane flew by. 8:21, Ocado shop goes by. 8:23, man goes by with his kids. Still don't know who he drops them off to. 8:27, man drives off. Think he's an athlete. 8:29, Coco comes back from her walk. That's a neighbor has a dog called Coco. 8:40, a bird swoops past my neck. And and then 8:45.
How far out the window is she leaning?
Our neighbor
to see
took
this?
Out his trash. Well, I'll be honest, I think she's leaning out quite far, and a bird obviously swooped right past her. Either way, she said her neck, not swoops past me, but specifically her neck.
Yeah.
She must have felt a draft of wing flap on her neck, but either way...
She's goggling out the window.
Yeah, I know.
Jeez. This isn't very 8:52 subtle.
8:52 p.m., fell out the window. 8:53 p.m., calling for help.
Oh, they are funny. But they both do it. They have like two windows and they'll open each one and one will lean out one window and one will lean out the other. And I'm like, please don't lean out too far. Like,
God damn.
You could fall.
Yeah.
But there's like a little, you know, I mean, if they did fall, they'd obviously get hurt, but it's not like they're on like the eighth story or anything. So I do tell them to be careful. It's a very large windowsill. So if they were to, you know, they'd have to literally crawl out onto the windowsill. Then there's like a sloped roof bit beneath them that they'd have to somehow climb onto, and then they might fall into the garden. But I'm pretty sure they're okay.
Has she got any binoculars, or is she like peeking out behind the
curtain? I have binoculars. I refuse to give them binoculars to spy on our neighbors. I think that might not go down well. But I remember when I was a kid, I used to look out the window and you watch things happening and the world going by, and it's interesting. And even cats and dogs understand that it's interesting. My cat often sits in the window watching things. The dog likes to sit in the window and watch people go by. It's just interesting. And I thought it's nice for them to still...
This is called people watching.
Yeah, people
watching. So this is a thing that actually you have... when I went on holiday to sort of, I think it was either Paris or Rome or something, it's very common there to almost like you look at TripAdvisor and it's like, this is a great place to watch people go by. And I didn't even realize that was a thing until I went there. But they, on the continent, it's very much like a thing that you do.
Yeah.
You sit somewhere, you watch other people do stuff and mill around, and you, I guess it's a kind of fun thing to do as well, to like talk about what you think that guy's doing and what you think this guy might be up to. You could do it sometimes on Google Maps as well. You can walk around, and the most interesting thing on Google Maps is what the fucking people are doing.
Absolutely.
You know, when you're at Street View and it's like, oh, I wonder what's that guy carrying? And it's, you know, well, that guy's running. What's he running from?
I can remember last year we went down to Bournemouth for my sister's 40th birthday. We rented a flat in the arcade, not an arcade like a fun arcade, but it's just like, you know, it's like a sort of an area with shops that's like a mall, but it's just one passageway and it tends to link two sides of a road. So where my mum lives in Bournemouth, there's like an arcade that runs through. It's very old. It's like a big archway thing, quite high. I mean, you can fit three-story buildings in there, so it's quite high. And there's all shops and stuff like that. So I sat in the window of our rented apartment and I just watched the arcade for like an hour. And I think the interesting thing is how much little tiny dramas play out just on one small area. And normally we just walk past stuff, and because we're on our way somewhere, we don't notice all this stuff. But there was like this guy went into the music shop and bought a guitar, and I saw them in there trying out all the guitars. He left with the guitar. He was very happy. And it was like obviously a big moment for him. He bought his first guitar and he was chatting away to his friend. He called him up as soon as he got out of the shop.
Nice.
There was a guy who was trying to deliver a cake to a cafe, and he brought the cake in the cake box, put it down and rang the doorbell, nothing. And for like the full hour, he was there for half an hour calling everyone he knew to try and figure out why they weren't there. And he's ringing the doorbell. Finally, the woman comes to open up and he was like, oh, you've been in there the whole time. She goes, yeah, I didn't hear you. I was downstairs in the basement. He's like, oh, I've been here for half an hour. And they had a laugh about it and stuff like that. And I was like, this is weird, because you'd never notice any of this stuff.
No.
But it's all these people's little days playing out and interacting. And if you just watch for a little bit, I think it's quite interesting.
Yeah, I do.
I think that would work well on the diary as well.
I've always done that stuff like that. Like, I've always sort of... like if we're like out somewhere sitting down, like just having a rest, like having a drink or something like that, I always just like watch people and what they're doing, yeah, and stuff like
it's
that.
It's intriguing.
It is interesting. Yeah, it's interesting because you realize that that we're all the same in so many ways, but then, yeah. You realize as well that some people are just completely fucking insane as well. Yeah. Like the stuff that they're doing and or how they're acting or whatever is just like, I don't know. Some people you feel like you'd love to just like go up to them and sort of like in a movie or whatever, you know, you just like stare at them and they're like, huh, what's going on? And you just like pass them through telepathy or something like that. You pass them all this like knowledge. And you're like, and then they sort of look at you and they're like, oh yeah, fuck, I am an idiot. Like, what am I doing? You're like, I was that idiot at one point. I did all that fucking dumb shit. And now look, I've looked at you and you know what I mean? Like,
no,
there's
you've lost me.
No, okay, there's definitely a scene in a movie somewhere that I'm thinking of, but I can't. Maybe whoever's listening can help me with this, okay?
Yeah, please.
Right, okay. So somebody walks up to somebody, okay, and is staring.
Right, so I'm stood over the dead body, okay, of like a polar bear, and I'm about to eat its liver.
Yes, and yes. And then somebody emerges from like a snowstorm, okay, and you look at them and you're like, what the fuck? And this person is staring at you very, very intensely, right? And they're just walking towards you. And you're looking at this person, and then they stop, and they just stand there, and they're staring at you, and you're looking at them, and all of a sudden you feel something like, you know, like a tingling on the back of your neck or whatever. But it's that person is like transferring their brain or something like to you by staring at you, and then you have like this epiphany or like you have this realization that like, hang on a sec, the fuck, why am I eating this bear liver, or why am I about to? You know what I mean? Like this person is giving you like some sort of warning or something.
Hmm. It's like a wake up call.
Yeah.
They've transferred their knowledge, yeah, their experiences.
Yeah,
to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure I've seen that in a movie. And if I haven't, I get dibs on that one because I think that would make a great scene in a movie when I finally do make a movie.
So it's almost like rather than a virus that makes you cough and stuff and be all gross and have a fever, it makes you smarter.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And then you're like, you know, you maybe you've given this knowledge to this person like, don't wear track pants if you're going to town.
Maybe it just wakes you up to your surroundings. Whatever,
and then that person just like realizes, hang on a sec. Fuck, I'm wearing track pants. I got to get home. I got to go home.
There are those moments. Yeah. But you stop and you look at yourself and you're like, what the fuck is happening? What am I doing?
Did you have one of those with your personal trainer? When you said, you have
them from time to time, don't you? You just look around and you're like, oh fuck! It's like you're just seeing it with new eyes.
Yeah.
Or you look in the mirror and you're like, oh man, what's happening? The ravages of time.
Refreshed peepers, yeah. All of a sudden, you realize. Hang
yeah.
on a second.
Or like, you know, you're sat, you know, eating a pizza out of like an old pizza thing on the sofa, just surrounded by mess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like with the curtains drawn, and you're like just slobbed out, and you've like knocked over a bottle of, I don't know, cod liver oil or whatever.
Yeah, and it's like staining your carpet and stuff, but you haven't bothered to clean it up or...
That's one thing I thought this week was, you know how in Animal Crossing and other games like Factorio or even World of Warcraft, you spend so much time and effort making and organizing and sorting and building and creating and kind of like... making this beautiful thing, this product, which takes hours and hours and hours, and you sit back and you're like, wow, that's amazing. And then you look around your house and it's like, fucking, it's a shithole. Yeah. And you're like, you've got a big pile of clothes like on the floor.
Yeah.
And you've got like a load of unwashed dishes in the kitchen and all the cupboards are all disorganized and shit. And you're like thinking, you're like, oh shit, I didn't bother to pick up any of the...
Well, it's kind of like...
run out of washing up liquid.
It's kind of you see this stunning... human being, okay? It can be a man or a woman or whatever, okay? Very well presented, you know, immaculately groomed, you know, wearing like the latest fashion. They just look great, like Brad, you know, just everything about them, you just think, holy fuck, this person has got it all. I bet you like their house smells really nice and I bet there's really... And you go back to their house and there's like fucking like 20 plates on the floor, like underneath like a bunch of old soggy pizza boxes, which are all underneath like mountains of clothes and stuff like that. They're just like fucking total slobs. Like they just live like fucking degenerates, but they look great sort of thing.
No, no, no. They live a perfect life in the physical world, but their game world is all a fucking mess.
No, come on.
They've got like a shitty, disorganized mess of the game and they can't, nothing's filed in the right place. It's a complete shithole. Whereas for me, it's the opposite. All of my stuff that I create and build is like lovely. How do I get myself to take the same care and attention to my real life that I do to my video game
playing? Well, you need to somehow maybe incorporate this into your Google Glasses or something. Like, you need an achievement system that tracks your everyday life. You know what I mean?
I do.
That's why people like Fitbits and stuff like that.
Maybe like a little dopamine injector as well, that like when I get an IRL achievement, yeah, injects it. Me with like drugs.
That's what keeps you,
it makes
that's
me
what
feel
keeps
good.
You doing things in games, right? It is that sort of like release of...
Yeah, it gives me like plus five inventory space. Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, wow.
But you don't necessarily, you get that from doing stuff in real life, but your mind tricks you into thinking that you won't get that, right? Because your mind is saying, ah, fuck, you don't want to do that. Like, that's going to take a long time and you got better things to do sort of thing. But if you went and like actually tidied up your living room or whatever, and you got to the end of tidying up and you looked at it, you'd be like, oh shit, yeah, this is great. I've done a good job on this. Like, it's nice and clean.
I do feel better when I've done stuff, but I think like just my motivation level to it is just automatically a lower priority list. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Because we're lazy.
Yes.
That's it.
We are, but not in game.
Any time spent doing that stuff means time taken away from playing video games, right? So that's why...
The thing is, if you look at the way we play video games, and you look at the way people who are really, really good at video games play video games, we're still lazy.
Yes.
Like, I'll take Dota as an example. I've been the same skill level, more or less, for the 8 years I've been playing Dota. Like, maybe I am better than I was when I started out, but it's not like I'm markedly better. You couldn't look at me now and think, oh, he's really improved. But
no.
I haven't put any effort into improving. I've just been playing it the way I like it and just enjoying it and trying to get better at certain heroes. But if I wasn't a lazy fucker, I could just fucking plow through ranked and, you know, really work on this and watch the pros and watch replays of my games. So I'm lazy in something I love doing.
I'm just lazy. I've been down that road a number of times with games, and it's not enjoyable. Like
it becomes work.
To the conclusion that it does become a bit like work, and you spend so much time trying to achieve something when it's meant to be you're achieving fun, like first and foremost, right? Or like some enjoyment or whatever. But like anytime I played a competitive game like Overwatch or anything like that, I always end up in the same spot. I get to a point where I'm like, why am I fucking wasting my time on this? Like, why do I even want to be good at this game? Like, I don't even enjoy playing it anymore, sort of thing. You know what I mean? Like, because I've somehow managed to sabotage or suck all the fun out of it in the first place by taking it seriously or, you know, trying to get better. When there's plenty of games out there that are just actually fun to play and you get enjoyment out of something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well,
it's like, I don't know if it's being... Yeah, I mean, maybe it's being lazy a little bit, but there's definitely something in... the way a person thinks or whatever. Like, look at like a game like Hearthstone, for example, or like there's still people playing Hearthstone now, like streaming and stuff, that have been playing it since it came out, and they've done that's what they've done every single day since that game came out.
Yeah, it's horrible to think of.
And I just can't.
I feel sorry for those
guys. Cannot do that. Like I don't know. Maybe I'm fickle or something, but I just move on from games very quickly. Like, I'll binge a game for like a month or maybe 2 months or something, and then I'm done. You know what I mean? Like,
a
couple of hundred hours of a game, and I've done all the things that I want to do in it or whatever, and, you know, that's it. Like, unless something new comes out that brings me back to it or that makes it exciting again, I'm not going to play a game for years and years and years and years. And I think that's also part of why I would never be.
There's also like there's an element of a solved game,
yes,
right? So they talk about these games where everyone's played it to the point where everything's sort of known, and there's kind of a best way, if you like, to play it, or at least an understood meta that you can only
keep fresh by rotating and messing around and create and rejigging that puzzle. But every time you solve the puzzle from then on, it's not as fun because it's not as there's not as many interlocking parts. And I think part of, as always, the joy in life is not the destination; it's the journey. It's like it's every day.
Yeah.
Living in the moment. You should always be, not thinking I will be happy when this happens or I will do this when this happens. You have to think that every day is what life is. It's not, the end. You don't get to the end of your life and think, oh, finally I'm happy. Oh, I'm dead now.
Yeah.
It's best to take it as it comes. And I think that a game is fun to solve. As humans, we like to solve puzzles. We like to solve mysteries. We like to make stories out of mundane things.
Ooh, This is interesting.
Yeah.
Talking about solving stuff, have you heard of the Lake City Quiet Pills?
The what?
So this is an interesting story. If you Google Lake City Quiet Pills, you'll find a bunch of articles about it and a bunch of videos on YouTube explaining it. And it started off, I think it was in 2009 on Reddit, and there was this user called Religion of Peace. And it's a really interesting look at the rabbit holes that the internet detectives can go down and how good people are at uncovering little facts and sort of nuggets of information that they can then expand upon about this weird, this guy basically was this creepy guy who was like a moderator on the now defunct, thank goodness, jailbait section of Reddit, right?
Where, holy shit, that was a section?
Yes. Reddit has had a lot of fucked up shit in its past, and that's just one of them. Because they didn't moderate it as heavily, and I guess it was making the money, so they just kind of left it up there. I don't know. But nowadays, it's much, like, a lot, that kind of thing gets shut down much more quickly. But at the time, in the early days of Reddit, it wasn't as used. It wasn't, like, the center of the internet for as many people as it is now. Most people just go to Reddit. Oh, I saw that on Reddit. You know what I mean? A lot of devs use Reddit to announce stuff. They use it to get feedback about their games. And yeah. Reddit is a big thing, right? It's obviously a huge website. But back then, it wasn't as big. I remember in 2009, it was like, it was something, but it wasn't as big as it is now. Anyway, so this guy was this creepy mod on that. It got shut down. But people sort of started looking at what he was doing. He had a website called Lake City Quiet Pills, which was like an image hosting thing, linked to some image hosting thing that he had. But people found that behind, like, for a start, he claimed to have been in the military, claimed to be 79 years old. Then in another post, he claimed to be 70. He claimed to have served in World War II, all this kind of stuff. But essentially, behind his behind his website, there was a hidden message board. And you could get there through the code of the website. You could find it. And it was all these sort of listings that looked like they were advertising for mercenary work, actual mercenary work. And it's interesting. Anyway, go and look it up. It's an interesting little conspiracy. My friend Simon linked it to me. I hadn't heard of it before, but it's an interesting one. But I just thought it was funny what you were saying about people looking for clues and wanting to unravel mysteries. The moment you present people with a mystery, they want to know more. And the internet is good and bad at generating mysteries because people are like, what is this? Think about Pizzagate is an example of that. People thought this was some conspiracy that was cooked up to have some pedophile ring running out of a fucking pizza parlor or whatever. And they're involved at the highest echelons of government, everything. And the guy went down there with a rifle to bust the kids out. It was no ring. It was just a pizza parlor. And it's people can go nuts with this stuff.
Fuck's sake.
This honestly, there's a lot of podcasts and YouTube channels devoted to these kind of kind of creepy pastery, but also kind of true urban, not urban myths, but kind of, I don't know, conspiracy theory stories. Like, it's so interesting. There's so many of them out there, and I would recommend.
But it's crazy because, like, Flack saying that, I'm like, oh my god, that is just like the epitome of, like, tinfoil hat wearing internet dwellers or whatever. You know what I mean? But at the same time, like, they found out what, like, Joseph Fritzl was doing. And you just think, I could not have imagined that happening in, like, a million years. Like, when I first heard about that, I was actually legitimately shocked.
I could not believe it.
Like, that is something in this world that has happened to a group of people at the hands of, like, a guy or whatever. Like, now that I know like that it's happened or whatever, I think like, okay, yeah, I could see like how that could happen, and it's like fucking brutal or whatever, but it was just so shocking. So like, I don't know, maybe there's like, I'm not saying that I would go out and support like everybody's move to uncover a conspiracy or whatever, but man, some of the shit that happens in this world is unfathomable. It's just,
I know. So it's so interesting to hear some of these it's almost like a James Bond movie plot or something, or some shitty detective drama plot. I like all these. I think the internet has this great power when it brings together a community of people, you know, the wisdom of crowds. So there's this thing where, for example, if you get like a bottle, you know, that classic carnival thing of a big jar full of like marbles or...
Guess how many marbles are in this jar.
Or chocolates in this thing or whatever. If you take like all of the guesses, they will be wild. Okay. They'll be wild. There'll be some really low. There'll be some really high. There'll be some in the middle. But if you average them all, you tend to get very close to the right number.
So wait until near the end of the day, then get your calculator out, whack all the numbers in, take the average, bosh that down. Interesting.
Yeah, and that actually will be very likely to be as... and so that's this wisdom of crowds thing of the internet. Sure, there's going to be outliers and crazies on there, but on average, like, if you... And we know this from Twitch chat and stuff like this. Like, if you ask Twitch chat a question, someone in there will have the answer. And it's kind of sometimes... You also get a lot of wrong answers, but the right answer will be in there. And it's like, it's interesting when you get like people, because there's a couple of documentaries on this sort of stuff as well, with internet detectives doing their work. Like, Don't Fuck With Cats is one, which I don't think is a very good one actually, but it's this case of where these guys were kind of hunting, it was a couple of people hunting this sort of guy who was uploading videos of him being cruel to animals, and he obviously, and they searched for him on the classic internet detectivery stuff, really, to find out where he'd been. They went through his pictures, they looked at metadata, they looked at the backgrounds, they tried to pinpoint where in the world he was being, they looked at traffic lights, and they were like, oh, he must be in Canada, all this stuff. And it's interesting. What you get is a couple of very passionate individuals who've got a lot of free time on their hands taking up a hobby kind of project, and the people who put the time into these passion projects put so much more time into anyone who was employed doing that, you know, in a sense. Like, you never find more time commitment than someone who is passionate or productive time commitment. You know, like, for example, I don't know, like, if I have to make a spreadsheet in the office or whatever to pay everyone or do something important, I'm like, I put it off and I fuck around and I hate doing it and whatever. But if I'm playing a game of, I don't know, a new game's come out and I'm like, oh, I wonder whether this thing's better than this thing. And before I know it, I've got like a 3-page spreadsheet with all this analyzation. It's like, okay, the cavalry charge adds +1 damage. And so if I work that out, you know, suddenly I've built like an EVE Online mega spreadsheet for it just because I wanted to see what happened. And it's weird how we are driven by also things that we don't want to, like, if we think it's worth it, if we think it's a job, if we think it's work, we're like, ugh, I don't want to do that. I kind of, I don't know. Whereas, like, just things that feel like they're for your own joy, or even just to troll someone. I think the amount of effort people are willing to put into like pranks or troll, or just to surprise someone, or sometimes, like, I don't know, just as a gift for someone. You know, sometimes people can spend, you know, days making a gift for someone, you know, and it's amazing what we'll do. What it's really weird what drives us as humans, and I'm just really interested in it.
Yeah.
And yeah, these conspiracy theories, they latch onto something kind of, I don't know, that we want to...
I mean, I will also note that the people are very quick to get internet detective on someone who they don't like. Like, there's a real groundswell of effort.
Well, yeah, there's a much more motivation when somebody is disliked, though.
Or... Like, someone posts a video and they're just like... I remember that a while back there was this thing. I can't remember the exact details. It was something to do with a poker game, and her boyfriend went off to play poker, and she claimed that she couldn't make it because she was sick, and she posted this video, and I can't remember the details. I probably shouldn't even bring it up because I'm so fucking vague. But essentially, from the videos that she posted, some people found out exactly where she was just from this wall that she'd filmed behind her. And they were like, if she was at this point at this time, there's no way she could have got to so-and-so by this time. And they like planned out the route she would have gone and where she must have been. in, and it was just amazing because people would just figure this shit out. You've got hundreds, potentially thousands of people poring over every tiny bit of information.
Yeah,
it must. I mean, I honestly think if you were a lawyer and you had a case, just whack it on the internet and just say, guys, I'm looking for any details you can find about this.
See what they dig
up. Yeah, and they'll just dig up all kinds of crazy details.
The danger is, though, of course, as we have seen in a couple of cases, of ruining some people's lives.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. If you've read John Ronson's book, So You've Been Publicly Shamed, which I recommend to anybody. I recommend all of John Ronson's books, actually. But his one about internet shame was about... this woman tweeted something. She was getting on a plane and she tweeted, heading to Africa, hope I don't get AIDS. All right.
Right.
And she tweeted that. She only had like 100 followers or something like that.
That's hilarious.
I know. So she tweeted
that. See, if I tweeted that, that would be my tweet of the year.
She tweeted that
and it blew up. While she was in the air, this tweet blew up and people were,
That's an international accident.
The tweet, obviously, the plane didn't blow up. She's in the air, and people were doing a running countdown until she landed and checked her phone, and her Twitter feed just would have blown up with all these people slagging her off and all the rest of it. She got fired from her job, all kinds of stuff, while she's in the air. So she takes off, sends this tweet, lol, hope I don't get AIDS, and then lands, and her life is in ruins because of this one tweet.
Oh, my God.
And it's an amazing story. And he goes and talks to these people and sort of finds out what's going on with them. Like, what happened to them afterwards? You know, what was the public reaction? What kind of responses did they get? How bad was it?
There and are some of them are amazing. People out there who just wait for this stuff to happen, though.
Oh, of course.
And they become these, like, massive troll warlord ringleaders for... pushing and pushing and pushing this stuff as well, right? Like getting people to the point where they're like trying to figure out how long it's going to be before she lands and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And most of them are regular posters on the somethingawful.com forums, turns out.
Yeah.
But you know, I know the exact, I hadn't heard of that story. That's fucking hilarious. But there are so many stories just like that where people will just go out of their way to make this person's existence so fucking miserable.
It's not like they even give a shit. Like, that's the thing. Nobody really cares.
They have no investment in it whatsoever other than...
the drama.
Just this living for this fucking, hurricane of drama that they can get into the center of. Yeah,
they love it.
It's hilarious.
Oh, everybody's got to have a hobby, you know?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And if you're good at something, you know, you should do it more, I say. If you're good at stirring the, you know what I mean? Stirring up the pot and getting people motivated to go out of their way to do some internet detective shit and stuff like that. Well, why not, I guess.
So what are you gonna get your daughter to encourage her to keep spying? Or are you going to try and encourage her to not spy? What's the strategy?
I don't think there's any harm in her noting down the things that our neighbors do. It gives her something to do in the evening. It's better than her just staring at a phone or whatever. She loves it. And I think it's quite sweet.
I think it's
purely
quite
because
funny.
I love the way she notes things down, like strange. You know what I mean? Like a strange little note that she's made about this guy taking his dog for a walk. Called the dog Hunter. Strange. I was like, is that strange? Like, it's not strange. Oh, I just love
fairly
her
normal.
Little
hilarious.
View of things. It's
but
just
maybe
so
she's
funny.
Seeing stuff that we don't know. You know, Hunter. That's a very American sounding name for a dog. You
yeah,
know,
it is. Yeah. Like, she also might have misheard it. It's very, very simple that she misheard it. He could have been called the dog a cunter. You cunter, get that lead on. You never know.
Right.
I mean, I'm worried she'll see something awful out there.
Then there's a situation of pet abuse.
Exactly. So
reported.
She might have uncovered that.
Yeah. That's the first. She's like a right little Veronica Mars.
Oh, man.
I just thought it was funny.
I think that's really cool. I think you need to get her like one of those black trench coats with the high collar.
Yes.
You know.
Well, I used to have a book when I was a kid. I think it was made by Osborne. I don't know if they're still around.
They are.
But they are. Okay, so they did a bunch of books for kids back in the day, and they were like, how to be a spy. And it was like little techniques that you can use to send secret messages to your friends. All these kind of like really low level spy tricks that you could pick up from watching a movie. Yeah, all stuff like that.
Lock picking.
Yeah.
Well, there wasn't lock picking. There was nothing illegal. It was all quite sweet. Looking back at the time, I thought, this is amazing. I'm a fucking spy now.
Poisoning.
Lock picking isn't illegal.
Lock picking is 100% illegal. What are you talking about?
To teach yourself to lock pick?
No, that's okay. But you're talking about lock picking. If I'm learning to lock pick, I'm going to unlock.
I'm not
locks.
Talking about breaking and entering. I'm talking about
talking about stealing a couple of bottle caps.
Just talking about learning how to pick your way back into your own house.
Right, that's fine. Out. But if I'm talking about spying and you say, yeah, you could learn lock picking, I'm obviously going to pick locks to go into people's houses and put bugs and things in there, aren't I, to listen in on them. That's what I'm thinking. In the context of spying, you're not just doing it for practice. The state secrets, like, where is that man dropping his children off? Who ordered that Ocado delivery? You know, that's the kind of details you want to get into.
Is that man really an athlete?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Her attempt at spelling athlete was remarkable, bless her.
Nice.
She tried.
On a side note, I just want to say, totally off topic, I started watching The Mandalorian, which I never got around to watching. And
I'm about halfway
through it, and I really like it. I've been really enjoying it.
It's a good show.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
I love the IG-88 style robot that he meets at the start. I thought was really cool.
Surprised that it was written by Jon Favreau as well.
Yeah.
He didn't strike me as the kind of guy who would be able to write a good Star Wars series, but there you go.
No.
Well, he did Iron Man and stuff. I mean, he's been doing that kind of movie for a long time.
Oh, I didn't even realize he did that.
He used to be an actor.
I only remember as an actor. That's why I was surprised. I didn't realize
he's done loads of writing and directing now. Moved into that. Yeah. All right. He's really, really good.
I'm interested in seeing it. Did you watch it on Disney Plus?
Yeah.
Sure.
So he directed Iron Man 2, a film called Chef, which is apparently really good. The Lion King remake.
Seen it. Oh, yeah, that's right. He was working on the Lion King live action.
And he was like executive producer on a shitload, all the Avengers movies, like Endgame, Infinity War, Ultron, all of that, and all the Iron Man movies.
I didn't realize. Like I said, I don't know much about him other than what movies
he was okay
I saw
in
him
Chef.
In like a long time ago. And that's why I just, out of nowhere, this guy
in,
just like,
what was that film called with him and Vince Vaughn? Was it called Swingers, where they go to Vegas?
Yeah, I think that's, I saw that.
That was such a good movie back in the day.
Yeah, that's an old one, though, isn't it?
That was 95 or something like that.
But Mandalorian is good, though. It's worth checking
out. It's good.
It's nice. It's like, I like how sort of, I like how it's like a bit gritty, you know? It's like, it's just got like that, I don't know, it's got like a bit of like a Rogue One feel to it. I guess they sort of take place in similar timelines,
Rogue One-y.
Across the Star Wars universe or whatever, but it's really good. And the guy who plays the Mandalorian is he's always got the mask on, so you never see him, but he's that guy from Narcos, you know, the
I think it's also got the right amount
of
humor.
He also played what's his face in Game of Thrones as well, the from Dorne,
the Viper.
Yeah.
Pedro.
You killed him!
Pedro.
He got his head blown up by the mountain. That was, I remember watching that.
That's
and
right,
I was so shocked. I actually had to pause it and take a break. I was like, it was so shocking.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. It was so grisly and horrific.
That scene was terrifying. I saw a meme the other day and it was like, it's this guy looking sad. And it was, I can't remember what the fucking meme was. But it's basically a Game of Thrones fan's thinking about every time they think about Game of Thrones, they see another plot hole versus Breaking Bad viewers finding another Easter egg on their 500th watch. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's Game of Thrones, man. I've played a bit of the there's a Game of Thrones miniatures game out. Me and Duncan have been playing it a bit before the office closed, but we played it on tabletop, and it's like a little miniatures game. It's good fun, but it's really sort of rekindled my joy of Game of Thrones, and I started reading the OG Game of Thrones again because it's so different, like, and so kind of weird. And
yeah, it is.
I mean, I still remember how exciting the early series
were. So many little stories that they missed out on in the show, but the books never elaborated on or never got back around to finishing off and stuff. But
he's never going to finish it.
We're talking like early on, there were plots that were in motion and characters that were being developed that like just were just going to go nowhere or never come back to them and stuff like that.
I think that's the problem, isn't it? Yeah. He caused this. It's like doing spinal surgery. You know, he cut the spine open and all the fucking nerve endings went everywhere, yeah. And he has to now tie them back together, but they're just spaghetti. And it's like,
you've been watching
how
Lost.
The fuck do I do this?
You know that bit where what's his face has like grayscale growing on his, like,
oh, yeah,
growing on him and stuff in the books. He doesn't get it. It's just this completely different guy who has like a claim to some kingdom, like within Westeros, right, who's been banished and comes back after all these years. But his big secret is that he's got grayscale growing like very slowly on his hand. So he always wears gloves and stuff. But again, it just goes nowhere because there's just nowhere, yeah, for it to go, sort of thing. Like, and maybe they would have elaborated on it a little bit more, like,
there's a lot
later on. But
in the TV show, they start teleporting up and down, don't they, all over the place. People just randomly are teleporting across the world. Yeah. And it's like, what? I don't know. Anyway, hopefully one day, maybe. I don't know. It's definitely left a bad taste in my mouth, but I think everyone's also on that on board because it's such a shame. It's so good. But no, the books are helping me rekindle my joy of it.
Yeah.
So I will shout out to the books.
Ned Stark's wife is like, yeah, you know, she gets killed.
Yeah.
But
at the Red Wedding.
Yeah. In the books, she's still like, she, you know how some of these people get killed, but then they come back or they can't be killed. There's like this notion. It's like, what's his face? In the show as well. Remember, like, he like got his arm chopped off and like he was
the Lord of Light guy, the
yes,
guy with the fiery
that
sword.
Guy, yeah. So like in the books, that's like Ned, like Kat, is it Kate or Kat Stark?
Caitlin Stark. Yeah. She comes back as Lady Frost Whisper.
That's it. She's like a ghoul who wanders around like where she was killed, sort of thing. That's the lead up to this idea that there's like almost like the Lich King or something, you know, like there's
right.
one person that cannot be killed because they've got like unfinished business or I don't know.
Lady Frost Whisper.
Some shit
I mean,
like honestly,
some
yeah.
garbage. There's a lot of garbage,
there
actually.
Is.
I will say there's a lot of garbage in the books.
They've released the Frost Whisper for men and now Lady Frost Whisper.
Hey, but there's also in the books, Flax, there's so much more about Dorne. There's like tons of stuff that happens in
I want to know about the
yeah,
weirdo
Yeah, well, they elaborate on
Island.
Dorne a lot more in the books. And the series,
but you,
they just...
You know when what's his name? The guy who
you
just
You don't
went,
learn anything about it in the series.
But the guy that just talked about Khaleesi all the time, the one who got grayscale, they go off to these weirdo islands and stuff. And there's obviously an ancient civilization that was pretty similar to the current civilization that's going on in Westeros there, and something happened there, and there's other bits of the world they haven't explored. I don't know what happened and all that stuff. What's going on over there?
Yeah,
we never find out. I want to know. And I know that they said they were going to do series based around that, but they cocked up the last few seasons so badly there's no appetite for Got anymore.
There's tons of stuff in when Arya is in
I shouldn't have brought it up, guys. I'm sorry.
You shouldn't have.
There's
why
tons,
you
tons of stuff when what's his face the big guy is in is it like the Citadel or whatever, like there's tons of stories around that and stuff too. Like it just elaborates a lot more on the places, and I think like the show was fine because I sort of knew about these places from reading the books prior to watching the show anyway. But if I hadn't read the books, then I would have definitely felt it more like, whoa, fuck, where are they now? Like, what's going on? Like, they don't,
right?
The last couple of seasons, they just stopped explaining anything, or there was like no elaboration on anything.
They just gave
like,
up, didn't they? They didn't have any source material, though.
They wanted to go off and do Star Wars stuff. They said that. They said they wanted to wrap it up and go do Star Wars stuff. That's it.
Yeah.
Where they followed the Disney money.
They
anyway,
didn't, they didn't
that's an
anyway.
Hour. We've got to call it because you've got to
Thank
start.
You, everyone. Sorry for the rant about Game of Thrones. But I will just say there is a lot of really good stuff in the Game of Thrones universe. I really like it, and I've been getting back into it by playing the miniatures game on tabletop. That's just a fucking shout out to that. But thank you, everyone, for listening. Please don't eat any polar bear livers.
No.
And stay inside.
Oh, the Bodega audiobook is on sale.
There is a Bodega audiobook now. On
Audible.
Audible.
Yeah.
I think
you can get it
if you get a free trial. I don't know. We should probably put proper advert in for this.
No, that'll do. They'll figure it out.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
See ya. Bye.